May I ask you a hypothetical question? Can you imagine any of our famous superstar evangelists, especially of the televangelist sorts, telling their flocks to count the costs before joining up? Now, that's no way to build a mega church. Oh, sure, they will want you to give money till it hurts, but that money is seed faith. Sacrificial giving is an investment for the sake of richer monetary returns. The bottom line promise is about your bottom line. Give until it hurts, and you will be richly rewarded with wealth beyond your imagining. All costs are only temporary. By these measures, Jesus is the anti-evangelist. He asks, "Do you really want to follow me? Have you counted the costs? Don't take up with me if you don't know what you're getting yourself into." The preacher of nonviolence and turning the other cheek even deploys a military analogy. What king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20? In my role as a teacher, I cannot imagine saying to my students, "Do you really want to sign up for my class? Don't sign up unless you're willing to do the hard work. Be prepared to give up everything you thought you knew before you enroll." I got to tell you, I don't think that would do a world of good for my enrollment numbers. Or imagine clergy saying, "You might really want to rethink joining St. John's. It's more trouble than it's worth." Why? Oh, we follow this Jesus fellow. He's an inconvenient troublemaker who makes life terribly difficult, especially for his own disciples. What an inconvenient teacher! Who wants to follow this guy? He is surely just as frustrating to us as he must have been in his own time. How do we grapple with him? How are we to understand him? And isn't Christianity fundamentally about consolation? Aren't we taught that the core message of our faith is that we are embraced, forgiven, and healed by faith in Jesus? Isn't that the good news? That despite our frailty, fallibility, and fecklessness, we are God's own. Surely we're not saved by our extraordinary deeds, are we? So why the military analogies, Lord? What gives? No wonder our natural inclination when we stumble over such passages is to interpret our way out of trouble by persuading ourselves that it's not meant to be taken literally. Monty Python reference for those of you in the know. But friends, I must confess that it feels like cheating to interpret our way out of a rigorous reading of Jesus' words. I am suspicious of my impulse to craft a convenient Christianity tailored to size, a comforting cardigan for a respectable, socially acceptable form of faith. I wonder what we might lose if we take the bite out of Jesus' words. Still, I find myself struggling. And I struggle with Jesus' words because elsewhere he says things like, "Come to me, all that you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So which is it, Lord? Is your burden heavy or light? How can our yoke be light and the cross be so heavy? Which will it be, Master? Will it be the cross or the yoke? Lord, if you promise to give us rest, then why call us to count the costs? How can rest be costly? But then an intuition nudges its way into my heart. What if the cross is the yoke? Suppose that carrying the cross is Jesus' characteristically vivid expression for walking the way of self-surrendering love. What if Jesus is inviting us to surrender defensiveness, break down the barriers we erect between ourselves and others, to shield ourselves from loss, disappointment, and hurt? What if Jesus is calling us to jettison the fortifications we customarily live within? What if Jesus is commanding us and commending us to relax the fist and refuse the impulse to strike before we are struck? What if that invitation is the good news? What if Jesus is trying desperately to teach us two lessons at once? Lesson one, if you want to have life, genuine and abundant life, you must discard defensiveness. You must refuse the security you seek by taking refuge behind barriers, shields, and fortifications. You must drop your sword, relax your balled-up fists, and open your hands in solidarity with neighbor and stranger alike. No, that is not easy. If you want to walk in that way, you had better count the costs. This way of open-hearted and undefended love for neighbor and enemy is expensive. It might cost us everything. But now, lesson number two, which cannot be separated from lesson number one. This way of life to which the Master calls us is what we were created for. When we live in an open-hearted way, we will find our authentic selves. You will find yourself breathing again as you let go of the terrible burden of carrying around the armor you thought you had to wear to make it through life. Those barriers, those shields, those fortifications, those armaments, that suit of armor you carry around with you. Now that is an immense burden that we were never meant to carry. When you live in this unguarded way, you will miraculously find that the Master who commands you is no longer outside you, issuing orders from without, but within you, enabling you to bear your load. His word is no strange and alien law, but a light yoke, a tender discipline. When we start living in this way, we will discover that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. We will find that the cross is indeed the yoke. No, we cannot live in this unguarded way on the steam of our own egos by giving it the old college try. But we do have to do things day in and day out. We have to find the courage to drop some part of the armor we thought we had to wear. Today, we may try dropping our shields. Tomorrow, let's try dropping our helmets. And as we do, we will feel freer, truer, stronger. And we will find that there is in us a strange, unfathomable depth where our own lives drop away into the infinite life of God, whose breath is the life-giving energy that empowers and sustains us to live in the way of love. Amen.